Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another episode of the Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the entertainment world. My guest today is West Coast vocalist, or as I like to call it, Left Coast vocalist, and songwriter, Joy Mover. Joy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Simon. I am very happy to be here.
Before we get into your new EP, Sweets, let's talk a little bit about Joy. Can you share with our audience a little bit about yourself?
No, absolutely not, Simon. I'm sorry. That's just completely out of the question. And humor, hopefully, you know, is part of who I am. I really find, you know, myself and my family and my music and you know, in my life is all somewhat combined because it goes back before I was born. And if you believe anything about, you know, in vitro or, you know, when you talk to children or sing to children or any of that, I mean, I have memories of music from the time that I can remember, with my mother singing to me as an infant and thinking her voice was the most beautiful voice I'd ever heard. And I was only a child, of course. That was the only voice I'd ever heard. But I soon realized, you know, in life that it was a very magnificently beautiful voice, and it was always something that I longed for to hear. So my musical beginnings, my father played the trumpet. He played in the style of Harry James, primarily, and was with the big bands, and my mom was a big band singer, and they had children with music on their minds and in their souls and in their lives at the time. So I think, you know, we were born from that, and it's continued to be a driving force in my development as a human being and as a musician. And as on a spiritual level, because it definitely makes one truly appreciative of the phenomenon of music and the gift that it brings into my life. So I'm very fortunate and, you know, feel very, I guess the word is, you know, blessed in many ways to have been provided with that much, you know, love, because music really is love. And I feel like I have a lot of that to give, and I don't know really where it comes from other than having this birth being born out of music and love, and that's kind of where it all started.
And a question that I ask many musicians, and there is no right or wrong answer to my question. Are you professionally trained, or... you know, did you just qualify from the University of Hard Knocks?
Well, I guess it depends on what you call university. My my brother is a master musician who, you know, it's like, you know, he was given honorary degrees and has taught at the conservatory. My approach to music has always been far more intuitive. And I've been around a lot of musicians who've spoken in theory, and I've been to the University of Miami. I didn't complete their jazz vocal program, but I was there and had exposure to lessons and all of, you know, what is involved. My real world of music is really comes more through poetry and through the verbal area, to be honest, as far as what brings the music into the poetry. I kind of came to music from poetry in that respect. I always sang. My mother was my singing teacher. So in that regard, you know, my mother was my vocal coach, and she had vocal training. and had very specific thoughts about music and theories about how to sing and phrasing, and was very influenced by Billie Holiday especially, and Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, the singers of the day that she really, Nina Simone, a great writer as well as Peggy Lee. These were the albums we grew up with, including Lambert, Hendrickson, Ross, and we were able to parrot back this music from a very early stage, and we were performing in front of audiences as children. So I suppose, you know, the Hard Knocks and the schooling, you know, is kind of a combination when you're in an environment like that. But as far as externally, I've been exposed to people like Whit Seidner at the University of Miami and the people there that I was able to make a community of musicians. And Ira Sullivan, who is a musician that has reigned in Miami for years and played with the likes of Charlie Parker and Miles Davis, Red Rodney, you name it, the man has been around and mentored my family, my brother and I especially, to bring us into that world of his and his family and his family of musicians. And I grew up actually going to weekly concerts and sessions that Ira led at a Unitarian church actually in Miami, in Coral Gables. And for many, many years, he brought musicians like Jaco Pastorius to the stage, Mark Egan, to name a couple, Hiram Bullock, Joe DiOrio played on that stage. Not that Ira brought Joe. Joe and Ira were those were the guys. And then there was Tony Castellanos, and there was amazing musicians that had all convened there, and it was a mecca for this. And I was very lucky to have Ira as a strong mentor in my family, and he was also on the debut album and actually is playing on one tune on the EP at the outro of Till There Was You on this particular release.
On the subject of the EP, what's we take a track out for a spin, would you be terribly upset if I was to play... have you ever loved?
Terribly upset. Please be my guest. Play Have You Ever Loved. Please, please.
Okay, here it is, folks.
My family moved to Miami when I was a child, and I was about 9. And yes, and so yes, that is very much Miami, and has, you know, everything to do about Miami. It has a band that's from Miami, largely, and an arrangement that's from a Miami guy, and it's got you know, all the flavors that that I remember, and that really inspired me. And I really enjoyed dancing a lot too, and I love salsa, and I loved, you know, there was the type of music that you just not, you know, you could not sit down to hearing. And one of those bands, Mike Levine actually led, and he is a big arranger down there for many people, including Sabato Gigante and John Zaccata, and many people on this album have, you know, been playing with these wonderful Latin musicians and playing this music all around the Caribbean, all around the world. So I was really fortunate to have these people on the track.
You know, you've mentioned two names. You know, who else appears on the EP?
Well, primarily, this was what these were brought out. A lot of these are the original versions that were done. This one you heard happens to be the exception. Also, Till There Was You is another exception. Those two are actually Mike Levine's arrangements, and Mike is from Miami, and I knew Mike when I was living down there and singing down there and at the University of Miami, and he comes from that world, and he's still in that world, very much in that world, and he brought his people into this. Lee Levin is on drums, Richard Bravo on percussion. We have John Paul on guitar and bass, and John is from up here. John is the arranger for the rest of the songs on the EP. And he and I started out working here together, and then when we put this one, a track together for it, it just really cried for the authenticity of, you know, Michael Bean. I just could hear how he would just play the salsa and how he would, you know, put the whole thing together. And there's a particular way in which salsa actually, you know, is, there's a technical component that if you're not really used to the form of a salsa, it's completely, you know, it's unique form. And Mike is a master, as are the musicians that are on this, you know, like I mentioned, Richard Bravo, Lee Levin from Miami. And to add to that, I mean, we do have Dan Warner who, as well, who's on a track, Till There Was You, another Miami amazing musician, guitarist.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, But is there a story behind the song?
Absolutely. The story is I guess, you know, when it was inspired by a feeling that was so overwhelming that it was like frightening, and I wasn't sure if it was, you know, the real thing or if it was just, you know, something that was going to evaporate. And the capturing of that mood and the flavor of that, those nights and those Miami nights and those experiences, you know, in Coconut Grove initially and things that, you know, the experience and the feelings are all really captured in that song. And the questions that one asks about, you know, is it, could it be that it's me, that you're someone? And, you know, also kind of reliving the past with someone you knew from the past. And this was why the story is somewhat, you know, mysterious in that regard, because it does speak to, you know, have you grown from the past? Are you now ready to, you know, it, to give of yourself or to, you know, to, I guess, whatever it is that one does when one feels, you know, compelled to love someone. But so those questions were, and feelings are what that song's about.
It is my understanding, and I could be completely wrong. I often am. This new EP is a revisit of your 2012 self-titled album. What are listeners going to find different?
Well, for example, this arrangement, the vocals are a completely different vocal on this arrangement, and it also has another part that Mike plays that was played by Billy Ross. So there is definitely a different flavor to those vocals. They are the first vocals that I laid down for the track, and, you know, and in that regard, they have a completely different feel and a different emotion that was happening, you know, in that period. And Maria's song, actually, I play piano on that, and it's the only one that I actually am playing anything on. And I do a little synthesizer on the main riff in the song. And so that song has a little bit more, a lot more of acoustic feeling. And so a few of them that I've placed on this have, the Home Sweet Home song is a completely different arrangement done exclusively by John Paul. The vocal arrangement actually is by John Paul, was directed by John Paul. Every, you know, that the guitar lines, everything in that song is really just John Paul and me, and it's really more a showcase of his abilities in that respect. So, you know, there's a lot of, every song has its own story, its own stories of attachment, detachment, why didn't it make it to the album. Primarily, these didn't make it to the album because they were done in a different time. Well, actually, when I brought the Miami band in, I didn't want a discontinuity between the tracks that I had those musicians playing on and the other tracks to sound like they were two different albums. So I really opted to put everyone together into kind of an orchestration on the album, so everyone fit and integrated into this one large piece. This is really far more, you know, unplugged, and it's more that it's just on the ones that are that way, it's just John and me. There's a new surprise coming with this EP as well that is going to be a song that's never been released. It's never been heard by anyone but me and John, and John has not heard it, you know, completed as it is, so it's kind of an exciting thing to have something new and exciting there.
I would love to play it, but I haven't heard it.
It's not even ready yet. It's still at the mastering stage.
What a tease.
It's, and that song has, it was my first song I wrote after a long, that was the first song I wrote that started me on my writing spree, which lasted, what started in really 1995. And the piano, the piano bench kept getting songs, you know, in there, and it kept growing. And I, at one point, you know, had to kind of get them out of the piano bench and into some other, you know, venue. Yes, that's it.
So you do tinker on the piano.
I write on the piano, and I tinker on the flute. I write on the piano in the sense that, you know, I have, like I said, a primary knowledge of composition and of chord changes and things. But on the other hand, because of the exposure to the great musicians and the great pianists that I've had in my life, I don't consider myself a pianist like that. I consider myself a vocalist like that because I have put the time, the practice, into my vocals and into my writing. But I have not done the same for the piano, so I can't really say that I've given it my all and that it's been my main instrument, because my voice has always been my main instrument, and I always had my voice with me so I could always just, you know, sing and create without having to have anything, any instrument with me.
Talking about your voice, why don't we play another track? One I really, really like, Home Sweet Home. Would that be okay with you?
That's just fine with me, Simon. Thank you so much.
Okay, here it is.
I'm counting the hours. I'm counting the ways that I love you.
Just one.
another great song. I'm a music lover, not a music critic. It's very, very different from the first one I played. Is this your style? You like to essentially change styles?
I do. You know, it's like the song. It's almost like, you know, if you have an old house and you want to kind of restore it to what its natural thing is. It's like, you know, a song dictates itself, like where it needs to be. It's like, you know, you have to flow where the song takes you. It's not like I take the song. The song takes me. You know, it's a different experience. It's hard to actually, you know, really explain. But the ideas that are, you know, coming together and synthesizing all, you know, through lyrics and music and chord changes and all of that, you know, is a tapestry of many different components of things that are happening, like, all at the same time and working together. So it's a very mysterious process. I mean, even for me, I can sit at the piano and, you know, everything comes out differently. So if I come up with an idea that, you know, like, really strikes me, like, heavy, I will just flow with it, you know. And so in that respect, if the song comes out in a meter that is obviously not Latin and it's obviously nothing but, you know, what it is, like this song, you know, it came out as it came out. So I'm not going to make it into something. Everything, that's respect. And, you know, I suppose I could control it more if I really felt like I wanted to exert control. You know, if I don't want to do that style because that's not, you know, a style I should do. But I feel like, you know, I don't want to exclude myself from something I feel vocally I can actually carry off. You know, I wouldn't take it on if I felt that I really couldn't, you know, drive the song in some way to make it work, you know. But I don't want to limit myself.
Let me ask you a grossly unfair question, but it's one that I ask many singer-songwriters. Do you start with the music and the words come later, or vice versa?
Well, you know, like, once again, you know, I can be sitting on waiting for a train, a plane, an automobile, or, you know, sitting even in my car driving and think of something, whether it's a melodic thing or if it's something that I feel like, you know, there's a strong rhyme or some start of something, like I feel has a strong beginning of a song or component to a song. I'm constantly vigilant about, you know, writing down my thoughts and my music, so I have tools with me, you know, to make sure I write things down and that I capture things as they're happening. And now, to be able to tell you, some things come out one way and some things are another. I have songs that I have actually a legal pad full of rewrite, and I have other songs that it, like, maybe took me one or two, you know, with ease. And I think, you know, and there's no reason, like, why some are like a, you know, a puzzle. It's like becomes a crossword puzzle. No, that's not the right word. I know there's a better word. And sometimes I have to put it down for, you know, months or even longer and come back to something and think, well, you know, there's got to be a better way to say that or express it. Because I feel like it has its own, you know, it has, when it's right, I know it's right.
So it would be fair to say that sometimes you'll sit down at the piano and just tinker, and you can find a nice melody, and words come to you. On other occasions, you'll write some words and then go to the piano and tinker, and the music kind of joins it.
I have way more poetry than I have, you know, music, and so I have stacks and stacks of things that I've thought about and, you know, write about. And if I had another clone or two or maybe another lifetime to like go through everything. It's not like a an exam or anything where you like put it together. It's kind of like it's a compelling feeling that it becomes almost a compulsion when you're writing a song. It's almost like you have to continue. If you've given it the credence, it's like of giving it's like giving birth to something in a sense, because you're starting off with just a really tiny seed of an idea, and then the quickness with which that evolves into the full song is also varied, you know. And so sometimes I will have a very strong melody, and I'll have the pre-chorus, I'll have a whole composition, and I won't have the words, and then I'll just think about that composition, and I'll think about, and then the words will come, because each note has a vibration that is waiting for its match. You know, it's like, you know, you're just waiting for that. If it doesn't happen, like, but you do have to focus. It's like a mental, you know, it does keep the mind occupied, I can tell you that.
Okay. I vote we do some shameless commercialization. Where can people buy your CD and new EP, like Amazon and all of the regular places?
Yeah, there's
places.
Like 400 online places, you know, that they're distributing everywhere, right? It's like all of them, Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, Pandora, you know, Django. But in terms of like buying the CD itself, the physical CD, is available through CD Baby or on my website, joymover.com. And, you know, the EP, if you sign up for the mailing list, when you go to joymover.com, there's a mailing list right there. There's also one at my Facebook singer-songwriter page. And if you sign up for that, there's a free download, and then there'll be a newsletter to tell you more about the EP, and then another free song coming, and, you know, more kind of things that'll be around before it gets released soon.
And what is your Facebook page? Yeah, everyone is
Joy
on
Mover,
Facebook.
Joy Mover singer. You know, I believe it's songwriter vocalist on there. Joy Mover songwriter vocalist. Or and I do have on that page, there is the link on the icons. It says the music, and there's also the mailing list there. It's duplicated. Pretty much everything that's on my website is duplicated on my Facebook page in terms of having access to all the same tools from that page.
We're getting close to the wire time-wise. Are you a live performer or a fan of the studio? Again, there's no right or wrong answer.
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, the live performance is certainly a very different experience, because it's really like a group experience. So you're feeding from the energy in the room, and, you know, and all of that affects, you know, how things feel. And, of course, you're also dealing with other things, good, bad, indifferent, versus, like, for example, the equipment. And, you know, whether things are set up right, and if the sound is working well in the room, and if, you know, this, that, or the other thing. You know, so there's a lot of things in a live performance that one has to really be cognizant about that makes you a little more self-conscious of what's going on than if you're sitting there really in a studio, although some people might have the complete opposite experience, you know, because I know they do. I mean, I know that there are musicians that are far more comfortable, you know, getting up on a stage and just, you know, blowing and, you know, than being in a studio setting. But for me as a vocalist and having such dependency on the equipment, I've had many times when something was spilled all over the stage where there's, you know, like water coming up on the wires, or, you know, having tricky things on the stage itself, or, you know, just the environmental issues and, you know, dealing with the club and the equipment and moving it back and the traveling and all of that is involved in a live performance, as opposed to, you know, getting in your car and going to a studio, or, you know, putting something in your H4, you know. So Is something lost in the studio? Well, if you've got a good producer that's really there to inspire you and make you feel like you're happening and having it, you know, coming from the deepest place in your being, then, you know, your performance is certainly not distracted by the other elements that can actually take away from the performance if you're conscious. You know, it's like you can't really have a good performance and really be too conscious about what's going on around you.
I think I will put you in the likes to be in the studio box.
I want to make sure everything is right, you know, everything goes perfectly. You can't do that when you're not in control of a situation, right? So all the fear, oh, what if this happens? What if, you know, 9 times out of 10 it doesn't happen, but when it does happen, you just go, you know, oh, you know, and what do? You have to, the show must go on. There's not a thing you can do. So if you have not experienced that, you know, and you've been at a microphone and there's, like, feedback or there's something that's just been, like, you know, some experience. Everybody does. Everybody has their experiences. Some of them are. But they're all good. You know, they're all learning experiences. And I always welcome the opportunity to share the music, you know, at any opportunity, live or otherwise, really. It's a good thing to share.
And one last question for you.
Sure.
What are your future projects?
Well, I am excited to say I am working with one of the finest producers probably on the planet in this side of the hemisphere anyway. His name is Vinny Zumo, and if people want to go ahead and Google Vinny or look up, it's VinnieZumo. He has tremendous, his credits are far and wide, but primarily people would know him for being with Joe Jackson for about 7 years as his lead guitarist, and glockenspiel and harmonica and arranging, producing for people that have been, like, he's played with everybody. Oh, my God. And his list of credits is phenomenal. So I am really fortunate to be working, and he is very eclectic like me. And that's why I think it works really well, because he loves all kinds of music and no barriers. And he's very, very creative to the point of, beyond belief. And he's from New York City. He lives in New York City, born and bred, and been in the music world his entire life, and from a musical family as well. And his wife is a singer, Janice Zumo. They've made a couple albums together now. But his work is just... speaks for himself. One of my favorite tracks is something he did called Ringo, and he does a lot of stuff. He does a lot of Beatles gear kind of thing. He had a period when he lost his mom, I believe, that he was brought back to that period, and he made an album. And that's how I discovered him, other than Joe Jackson, and discovered him, you know, most recently. And we are on songs, actually up to song 7, and, you know, and moving along on it. And hopefully, you know, we'll be progressing surely.
Joy, it has been wonderful to talk to you. And I want to thank you for taking time out to share your songs and share your story with us. I'm sure I speak for everyone at Blog Talk Radio and bloggernews.net in wishing you every success. And I also hope that you'll keep in touch. I would love to see what you do next.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, I've really enjoyed our talk and our talk beforehand, too, and I appreciate it very much. And thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Very much.
Okay, till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy and safe week. We will be back again soon. Till next time. Goodbye.